CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It comes to you from G4NJH in Nottingham. You can find the text on the RSGB's own website. Good morning, it's Sunday the 17th of August 2014. This is GB2RS News. Here are the main news headlines. RSGB Convention News, plans for Youngsters on the Air Month. BBC World War One at Home Radio Today. That should be BBC World War One at Home Radio Today. The RSGB convention takes place between the 10th and 12th of October and will be held at the Kent Hill Conference Centre in Milton Keynes. David Powis, G4HUP, is doing an SMD presentation on the Saturday, followed by workshops during the day. Visitors can book their place in the workshop, which takes up to an hour with only six individuals per session. During the session, they will learn solder dispensing and component placement of surface mount components, and they will have access to a reflow oven. Also, on Saturday from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m, Keith G3VKW, Chris GM3WOJ and Fred G4BWP will have a number of vintage transceivers on display dating from the 60s. These will be connected to a receive antenna so older visitors can relive the experience of listening on one of these radios that they may have owned in the past, whilst younger visitors can also share the experience. The RSGB has extended the early bird discount until the 1st of September, so there's still time to get a bargain. Go to www.rsgbevents.org to book your place. December is IAIU Region 1 Youngsters on the Air Month, and RSGB has arranged for clubs and groups to use the special call sign G14YOTA with regional variations on a rota basis. An application form is available on the RSGB website. As there are only 31 allocations, applicants are asked to give three choices of date in an attempt to resolve diary conflicts. There are some conditions attached to using the G14 YOTA call sign, and these are included on the application form and the website. The main one is the requirement to use the call sign to put youngsters on the air, and for this purpose, anyone under the age of 26 is considered a youngster. Applicants are encouraged to think about making the most out of the activation by including other activities such as Morse demonstrations, ARDF hunts, WSPR beacon displays, listening to remote SDRs, use of Arduino, Raspberry Pi and so on. The RSGB will provide some promotional material, stickers, badges and so on. Applications must be submitted by the 22nd of September, and a panel made up from the YOTA teams will then allocate the call sign, with every region having some activations. For further details, see the RSGB website operating section. The BBC Radio Solent World War One at Home display will be at the Weymouth Pavilion on Carnival Day, set 20th of August. Members of the South Dorset Radio Society will be assisting the Royal Signals Museum with a demonstration of how Morse code was used in World War One. Rob G0RYL, Carol 21RBH, Rob G3MYV and Jeff G0EVW will be expected to be located in the Ocean Room at the back of the Weymouth Pavilion. The event runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, is open to the public and entry is free. The South Dorset radio team will be very pleased to see any radio amateurs who are able to visit, although this is a Morse demonstration, not a special event station. There's still time to get involved with Churches and Chapels on the Air, which takes place on the 13th of December between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Activities mainly on 1480 metres over 20 stations in the UK are already planned. Contact John G3XYF by email, g3xyf@btconnect.com, if you're planning to take part. The RSGB is involved in Special Event Station 2SZ, which will be on the air in North London from the 11th to the 18th of October. This is to celebrate the first two-way radio communications between the UK and New Zealand. That took place on the 18th of October 1924 between 2SZ at Mill Hill School and 4AA in New Zealand. The contact attracted the attention of the national press and was reported in the Daily Mail newspaper on the 21st of October 1924. To commemorate the 90th anniversary, stations will recreate the first contact, hopefully on a wavelength close to the one that was used in 1924. This is believed to be only the second time that Ofcom has permitted radio amateurs to use three-character call signs to commemorate a special event. More details on the RSGB website. Kerry Amateur Radio Group has been issued with an additional call sign, EEI1K. The club intends to use the call sign for contest operating, whilst the other call sign, EEI1KARG, will continue to be used for field day operations and special event stations. The group have a QRZ.com page for EI1K, where photographs of various activities and details of the club can be found. Details of rallies and events in the coming week. The Rugby Amateur Radio Amateur Transmitting Society annual radio rally will take place at Princethorpe College, Princethorpe Rugby, CV239PX today, 17th of August. More details from Stephen, G8LYB, 01788578940. Also today, the 2nd South Manchester Radio Club Summer Radio Car Boot Sale will be held at Trafford Metrovix Rugby and Cricket Club, Finneybank Road. Sale in Cheshire, M336LR. Tables £10, admission £1, with the gates opening 9:30. More from John, M6JII, 07892 890 902. On the 24th of August, Milton Keynes ARS Rally will be open at Longville Hall, Hammond Park, Wadden Road, Newton, Longville, Milton Keynes, MK17 080. Visitors can combine a visit to the rally with one to Bletchley Park and visit the National Radio Centre as well. There's a car park and doors open at 10 a.m. with entries costing £3. More from Steve, G6KJU, 07866673192. August Bank Holiday Monday the 25th sees the Huntingdonshire ARS Rally take place at St Neots Community Centre, College, Barford Road, St Neots, P19 2SH. Doors open at 10 a.m. admission is £2. There's a talk-in on S23 with a bring and buy and car boot area as well as trade stands. More from Clive, G3NKQ, 01480 810 473. If you have any rally or event information you'd like to appear in future editions of GB2RS, Radcom or the website, please email radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Now for the news of special events. Coventry Amateur Radio Society will be operating GB4 PIA at the Party in the Park event that has changed its date. Organisers have moved the event to the August Bank Holiday on the 25th of August. It remains the Miners Welfare Park, Coventry Road, Bedworth. Halifax and District ARS will be operating from two churches in the Halifax area as part of the Churches on the Air on the 13th of September. GB4 ASC will be operated from All Souls Church at Haley Hill, Halifax, and GB4 BMC will be operating from Bethesda Methodist Church at Elland. Frequencies will be the HF bands. Radio Society of Sri Lanka will activate the Point Pedro Lighthouse, the northernmost part of the island, on the 17th of August for International Lighthouse Event. The team use HF bands both on CW and SSB. QSL request to PO Box 907 Colombo. QSL reports are welcome. This weekend, during the International Lighthouse and Lightships Weekend, TC1 LHW will be active from Istanbul Terkos Karaburun Lighthouse, and TC6 LHW will be active from Samsun Bafra Lighthouse. Details qrz.com. Now for the DX news. A group of English operators will be active from Rathlin Island, EU122, until the 20th of August. They'll be using GN0GRC and plan to operate from three lighthouses whilst there, QSLs to G0RCI. G3ZVW will be active as ZN8N from Georgetown on Ascension Island, SA043, between the 21st and 29th of August. Operation 10 to 80 metre bands using CW, SSB and digital. QSL via his home call sign, either direct or via the bureau. LZ3FN will be operating stroke Sugar Victor 9 from Crete between the 24th of August and the 7th of September. Activity all bands, mostly CW, QSL, LZ1PM. JH1UVV will be on the air as T8THUN from the West Plaza by the Sea Hotel rental shack on Koror Island, OC009, between the 28th and 31st of August. Activity will be holiday style on the HF bands. QSL cards go via the home call only. No electronic QSLs will be available for this one. VK3VTH will be active stroke 7 from King Island, OC233, between the 14th and 17th of August. His operations will be 40 and 20 metres SSB only, QSL via VK3VTH direct or via the Bureau. VK380X will be operational stroke P from Garbo Island, OC196, on the 16th and 17th of August. Activity on the HF band's QSL home call direct only. Contest news now. On Tuesday the 19th, the 1.3 gigs UK activity contest takes place from 1900 to 2130 UTC using all modes, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. The IRTS 2-metre counties contest takes place on Sunday the 24th between 1300 to 1500 UTC with an award for the leading non-EI station in each of the six sections of this two-hour event. These awards often go to stations in GI, but if you have a good takeoff across the sea to Ireland, it's definitely worth a try. Also worth remembering that if you're a VHF square basher and have missing squares in Ireland, this could be a good afternoon to work some of them. The 32 Irish counties are used as multipliers, and you can find a list of them on EI8IC's website. The exchange of signal report and serial number. So finally, on we go to the solar factual data for the period from Friday the 8th to Thursday the 14th of August, compiled by Neil Clark, G0CAS. All visible sunspot groups were small and not very flare productive. Only 8 small C-class solar flares took place on the 11th. Since then, solar activity declined to very low levels, with no C-class solar flares taking place. Solar flux levels declined from 123 units on the 8th to 103 by the 13th and 14th. The average was 108 units. The 90-day solar flux average on the 14th was 127 units, which is 3 units down on last week. X-ray flux levels declined from B4.8 units on the 8th to B2.5 by the 14th, where the average was B3.4 units for the period. Geomagnetic activity was quiet every day except for the 12th, which increased to AP10 units. The average was AP7 units. Solar wind data from the ACE spacecraft saw solar wind speeds increase from 360 kilometres per second on the 8th to 560 by the 12th. Particle densities were low every day except for the 11th, which increased to 22 particles per cubic centimetre. BZ varied between -3 and +4 nanoteslas on the quietest days, and between -10 and +8 nanoteslas on the 12th, which was the most disturbed day. Now for the solar forecast for the coming week. This week's solar activity is expected to be at low levels. However, an M-class solar flare is slightly possible on any day. Solar flux levels are expected to be around the 100 mark, but could increase slightly after midweek. Geomagnetic activity should be mostly quiet, but could increase slightly towards next weekend due to a small coronal hole. MUFs during daylight hours, the equal latitude should be about 22 megs. Passed this week to Australia, should have a maximum usable frequency with a 50% success rate of something like 21 megs, but the best working frequency, meaning 90% success, will be more like 16 megahertz. The time to try this path, that's to Australia, will be between 0800 and 1100 hours UTC. And that's all from the propagation team for another week. And that ends this recorded bulletin. Until today, I have been reading the local news for the UK Midlands, but I don't believe that this information is still required or being retransmitted over repeaters. So from this week, I shall cease to do so. If, on the other hand, anybody does care to contact me and tell me that they still want the service, then I'll gladly provide it and put it back. Thank you.